thought it might be in my name. A shining letter to see. I thought it might be in the goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas. But I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord.
Give up in this prayer, just fill away and bring his serving.
He's worthy, ain't he? Amen. A lot of obstacles, you know, with this kind of weather, it brings vanity sometimes. Whole body starts aching a little bit, you know, you get a little tired sometimes, but you have to push that flesh to the side.
Amen.
You know, you start serving the Lord and those things will start falling away. We'll read it. It's a different scripture than what I gave you for the missions report. If you don't mind, let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Let's read, start at verse 16. We want to give you a little bit of a report of what we've seen the Lord do on this trip. And I don't want to exaggerate. I don't want to try to do anything like that. I just want to say it just the way God has the way it happened.
Yeah.
And I think God can get glory from something like that.
Amen.
Yeah. 1 John chapter 3, let's start in verse 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just love you so much, Lord. This presence, God, you never fail, Lord. Just, Lord God, wherever you're welcome, you'll come. Lord, I know you're here this morning. Lord, I hate to see so many empty seats this morning, Lord. It just breaks my heart, Lord. God, I ask you to go to everyone this morning, Lord. You know the needs, Lord, that they have. Lord, of why they're not in service, oh God. But Lord Jesus, there are a few that are here. And God, we're here in one mind and one accord this morning. And Lord Jesus, we just want to look upon you and behold your face this morning, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you'll just walk the aisles, Lord, and that you'll just meet every need in their heart, Lord. God, truly, from our heart, we just want to serve you, Lord. We just want you to be happy with what you see when you look at us, God. And Lord Jesus, we know that you look to that finished product, Father. Help us to strive to be that, Lord. We love you. Lord, I'm going to testify of a few things that I saw you do on this trip, God, because you know it wasn't me, Lord. There's nothing I can do. I'm a failure in everything I attempted myself. It's just your grace, God. Lord Jesus, help me not to exaggerate in one bit, Lord, but just say the way you've done it and take all the glory and give it to you, because you're the one that's worthy of it. I love you. I thank you, Lord. Be with us now in Jesus' name. You can be seated if you'd like to. We're going to love the Lord this morning. I want to have you go ahead, if you want to, sister, you can show pictures 1 through 5, and I'll just kind of talk about it a little bit. On Tuesday, we left out after several hours of flying, and one layover after another, it seemed like. I got in San Pedro Sula at about 7 o'clock that evening, and we ate dinner with Brother Paco. She'll have those photos up here in just a second. Give you some help. Right off the bat, it was kind of a long trip at first because of the layovers, being in the airports. Anybody ever flown before? You know what I'm talking about. I thank the Lord because the customs was real nice. As I was going through, the guards, they were getting pretty rough on some people because they weren't listening. You know, you kind of look ahead and you can see other people are pulling their belts off and pulling their shoes off. Well, you can either wait until you get up there and have them tell you personally, or you can just go ahead and do those things and be prepared. And that's kind of what I was doing. I was preparing, you know. And a lot of times we can see that in the Lord too, you know. There's preparations you can do yourself whenever you see someone else making something right. You know, I ain't made that right. You can go ahead and make that right because they'll get to you eventually. Well, they were getting pretty rough on some people, and it wasn't going so good for them. But we'll get this thing going here. Praise the Lord, anyhow. No wires in heaven, right? Here we go. This is pictures 1 through 5. You just go ahead and jump in. That's coming out of Miami right there. And this is Brother Paco's wife. We had met at a restaurant, and I'm telling you, at first it was kind of nervous because I had Brother Paco's number wrote down on a piece of paper, but right in our luggage, I decided to stick that in there because he'll be there. Because he's always there, right? Well, I get off at the airport, and I get off, and I'm expecting to see these smiling faces to greet me as I get off the airport, and I'm looking, and I don't see anybody. I'm like, oh, no. I look over, and I said, well, praise the Lord anyhow. I go around the side over here, and I'm waiting, and all these brothers, men are coming to me, speaking to me in Spanish, and they're saying, do you have the telephone? I said, I don't know the number. And he said, you went to Honduras and you don't have the number? I said, no, I've got it. I said, it's in my bag. Give me just a second. I reached down to get my bag, and sure enough, Brother Papa was there, and Brother Alon. But that was kind of a funny deal that happened right off the bat. And this is my Brother Paco right here. I really feel that God has put us together. It's just amazing how we can work together. That brother almost knows what I'm going to say before I even say it, and even the actions, and he actually testifies on a video we'll show you here in just a little while about how it amazed him that happened. So that's what we got to his house about, or back to the airport at 7, and we finally made it to his house about 10 o'clock. I'd been up since midnight the night before, and I'm telling you, I was some kind of tired. But thank the Lord, we got there. Next morning, going from picture 7 through 11, we left out from Brother Paco's house at 5 a.m. that morning towards Nicaragua. And we arrived at Managua, Nicaragua, at around noon. And I'm just going to stop and show you something about that. And their state building, you go in and you have to fill out all this paperwork and different things. Well, I'm trying to fill out this paperwork, and I feel something brushing against my leg. Well, I think it's just a kid or something. And I'm inside of a state building, and I'm writing stuff. I'm like, what is that? And I look down there, and it's a stray dog. He's inside here, and he's just trying to play with me all over my lap. And I'm looking around, and I'm looking at these officials. I'm thinking, there's somebody going to chase this dog out of here. And they just kind of kick it over, and we don't fill out their paperwork. If it don't bother them, it won't bother me. I thought that was kind of interesting. After going through the border, we met with a pastor named Luis Orozco. And this brother owns a tire shop. And Brother Paco's tires were in pretty bad shape. I told Brother Paco I was going to buy him some tires. Well, we bought some tires for this brother. And this brother only charged me for two tires. And so when you expect him to pay for four tires, you only pay two. It's a real blessing. So that was one of the first blessings I've seen the Lord do. And we drove for 12 hours that day. And we stayed at a hotel that night. And the hotel was actually pretty close to this sign right here. And I don't know if you noticed, we'll go, those were volcanoes on the pictures. I thought the kids would kind of like to see that. I've read about them. I've never actually seen one. But until this time, that was pretty amazing. The next day was Thursday morning, and we started traveling about 9 a.m., and we met with two other brothers. His name is Brother Allen and Brother Roberto. Brother Roberto is the pastor. Brother Allen's the son leader. Brother Allen is a big man, so they climb horse. And this brother, and this is pictures 12 through 14, is kind of whenever we started traveling through. And I want you to stop right there, because that's where we're fixing to go to. Brother Roberto and Brother Allen, they come because there were some bad spirits we're fixing to confront. And it would break your heart if you used to see the spirits and the doctrines that are rising over the message. And this place right here is where we're going to be going to speak about 30 minutes from here. But a message church rose up, and the deacon rose up in the church and said that God told him that he was the eighth angel messenger, and he brought a message to the people, and he told the young people, and this is the deacon of the church, he told the young people that we have eternal life, you can go to this place and take what you want. He said, because they're going to shoot at you, and their bullets will not kill you. Power without character is satanic. And he told these people, these boys, they're teenage boys, and said, you go take what you want. He said, they won't stop you. He said, and if they shoot at you, it won't hurt you. So these boys went here to this very place right here and were taking things. And police start coming toward them and start shooting at them. And the boys shot some of the officers, killed the three of the officers, and then they killed the boys, all the boys. Well, because this happened... they were really dead set against the message because they believe that the message is satanic. And the pastor wouldn't go and confront those people. So this other pastor I'm going to meet is Brother Felix. He went there to set them straight about what we believe. And not, I say set them straight, but just show them what's right, you know, what we truly believe. And these brothers knew that Brother Felix had been going through a hard time, and so I was going there to help Brother Felix, and it's just, it breaks your heart to see that. And I want you to go ahead and throw through the next picture. This is kind of, this is towards the end, and this is where they were just taking the things and they ended up getting shot. Go ahead and go to the next picture. And one more picture. Go to the video. Can you drop down and go to video number one? Oh, I had Brother Paco just do us a video over this. It's labeled video number one. By looking at that brother is probably one of the smartest men you'll ever meet in your life. He is an engineer, and he has a true burden for the gospel. And they wanted to come with us. Well, they had it in the newspapers. They had it on the televisions. They had it on the internet, of everything, that these things are happening, and they're saying that anyone that follows Brother Branham is from a satanic cult. And it was a great pressure when we went there. And so when we come, people already had red flags in their mind, and so I knew I had a burden that I was really fixing to go into. I've never quite went into something quite like that. We finally got to where we were going. It was pretty late. We traveled for 10 more hours. And we got to where we were at. And it was pretty late, so we were going to start service the next morning. And I started the first morning on Stay with the Vision. And there was a few that come for prayer, but there was one man in particular that come. And I just want to stop here and say this. Before I went, my main burden that the Lord had laid on my heart was marriages and life inside the homes. And it was just very, very strong. And that's the two things the Lord really laid on my heart when I went there. And I tell you, it would break your heart to see the marriages that are just separated in message churches. And the home life is just terrible. It's terrible. The things that you see in, not in every home, but in a lot of the homes, Satan is really just tore at the families. And at this first service, the Lord began to vindicate that it was truly him that was leading that. There was a man that came to the front, and he was just broken hearted. And I mean, he was just absolutely sincere before God. Had a yellow shirt on, and he came to the front, and he was crying so hard, it was kind of hard to understand what he was saying. He threw up the pocket. We started talking. He said, "What is it, brother?" And he said, "Wife had been backslid for years. Wouldn't come to church. Wouldn't come to do anything." And he said, "I spoke that morning. I stayed with the vision. You stay true to God's word." I said, "Sometimes you're going to get scared and think you have to go to the left, but don't. You stay with God's word. You claim your family." And I said, it's according to God's word. I said, you claim your family, God will get your family. And well, this man, he said, "I want that promise." He said, "I want my family the way you preach that." And so we speak to the interpreter, and we prayed with him. We said, "We're going to pray that God will speak to your family, and that he'll have your way, have his way in their life." And there were several others that come for prayer, for just rededicating their hearts to the Lord and different things. Well, the evening service comes, and they ask Brother Paco to preach the evening service. And this evening service, I'm sitting in the back, and tell you what, it's just awesome the way the Lord began to come down. And at the end of the service, we seen some sisters come to the Lord. And I'm telling you, sisters, they didn't go up there just, you know, pray for me. I'm telling you what, these sisters were sincere before God. And they had their pants on, And, you know, they went up there and they said, just really dedicating their heart to the Lord. Well, the brother that come that morning, come to us crying, he was just so happy. And he walked up and he kept hugging me and squeezing me real tight. And I was like, well, praise the Lord, brother. God bless you. It was a good service. And he kept, no. And he kept trying to speak. And I was like, what are you saying, brother? I don't know what you're saying. Brother Paco, get over here. Brother Paco come over there. And Brother Paco said, he started talking to him. He said, Brother Daniel, you are not going to believe this, brother. You're not going to believe this. I said, what is it, brother? He said, you remember this brother prayed this morning? I said, yeah, I do. He said, see that sister over there? I said, yeah, I do. The one that gave her heart to the Lord. He said, that's his wife. I said, well, praise the Lord. So, you know, they were, you know, they came and wanted us to pray with them, but she had come to the Lord and their family was reunited, you know. So I thought that was really amazing. And it was in the upper 90s all the time. Day and night. And I tell you what, when I left the airport, I wore a coat because it was kind of cold that morning. Well, straight into that, it was a pretty culture shock for my body. It was a little hot, but I tell you what, it was worth it. And you go ahead and see. I'm just going to go through these. I don't want to wear y'all out on the pictures, but this brother over here in the center here, he rededicated his heart to the Lord during the service, the brother in the red shirt. And when we come there, his hair was shaggy. I'm telling you what, it looked just like this. Like an afro almost sticking out. Well, when we first got there that night, Brother Paco was speaking to him. And Brother Paco would just tell you how it is. I just did. I mean, it's Brother Paco. And he told me, he said, Brother, you believe this message? And he's speaking. And then he said, yes, I believe this message. He said, your hair sure don't say it, brother. He said, your hair is saying something completely different. And that night, he shaved his head. He didn't waste no time. Kind of like Abraham circumcised the children of Israel the self same day. He circumcised. And he didn't wait around. Well, he went straight home and he shaved his head. I thought that was pretty good. The following service, I preached the morning service, and one soul come to the Lord during this service, and Brother Paco preached the evening. And I stood in the back there during this service where Brother Paco was preaching, and I seen this woman. She had this baby, and it was just pouring sweat and just crying and fidgety, and she's sitting in the back, and I was standing all the way back because I wanted everyone to hear the service and see the service and not be looking at me. And kept watching, and she kept getting real fidgety with him. She's getting kind of angry, and she finally walked out. And I realized this baby was sick, really sick, and it was coughing and just different things. And the Lord just laid it on my heart, just to, and because I knew it was my prayer line that evening. Then the Lord laid it on my heart, just pray for him right now. And this baby was just pouring sweat. I'm telling you, I felt sorry for him, and I kept fighting my mind that, well, we'll first have a prayer meeting, and the Lord said, pray for him right now. And that baby was crying, and God's my witness, she was just. It was just fidgety and everything. I just walked over and stuck my hand on the baby's back. And it was just burning with fever. And I didn't say a real great prayer. Just Brother Pocket was preaching. I said real quietly. I said, Lord, heal this baby right now. I'm telling you, friends, that baby's fever broke just like that. And the fever completely, I mean, just within 5 minutes, that baby was sound asleep. And that absolutely healed that baby. And I thought that was real amazing, you know. And it's something, you know, sometimes you'll think there's a prayer line that's going to take place. Why pray now? Why don't we just wait for the prayer line? But when God lays it on your heart to do something, do it right then.
That's right.
And I thought that was really good. We had a prayer meeting. There were several that come to the front that were sort of healing. They testified of being healed. The pastor there of another location had kidney stones all on the side of his body. And he was just an awful mess. And we prayed for him. And he came to the front and just laid hands on him. Didn't say nothing. And I meant it, and the Lord absolutely just healed him. I mean, completely. And he was hurting the whole service, and he walked away just as perfectly well as could be. There were several. There was a sister that had a baby was breached. We prayed for the baby, and the baby just turned straight, and she was perfectly fine. So it was a wonderful feeling. On Sunday morning, you're going to go to the next picture. We'll see. Okay, you hold it right there. The next morning, Brother Roberto preached. And we had a pretty good service there, and then we just had a birthday party for a 15-year-old boy. There wasn't no one that really come to the Lord that day, but it was just a refreshing day in the Lord. And Brother Roberto, he's the pastor, and they said, they asked me, they said, is it okay with you if we let the pastor preach out of respect? Don't ask me. I said, it's your pulpit, brother. I said, you preach whom you want to preach. I said, I'm here just as a yielded vessel. So Brother Roberto preached that service, and he did preach a good service. Brother Paco interpreted for me. Well, we had to get in a row and start traveling again, and we had to travel all day long. And I'm telling you, I was some kind of tired. My voice was already worn out from praying and preaching. And we had gotten this place to the hotel where we were going to stay at. And, you know, we said, you know what, let's go ahead and get some food and eat a little bit of food before the service. And I'm eating food sitting inside there. And I'm really tired, but I tell you, it's just like a presence that struck down over the table where I was sitting at. And I just, and I don't know how long I was there, just a presence that struck down. And I was by myself. And Brother Paco walked into the room. I said, Brother Paco, I said, tonight we're going to see something that we've never seen before. And he said, oh, I'm expecting, brother. I said, well, I said, you'll see. I said, you'll see, brother. I said, this is going to be a very special service tonight. And just the anointing that was there. And we got to where we were going. This brother, Arisco, this is the brother that sold me the tires. What it was, he's a pretty wealthy man, but by the grace of God, he had bought this plot of land on a mountain. And he has built this place for youth services and for special events for churches. And he had never had a service there. He said, I want you to go, Brother Daniel. I want you to hold the first service here. And we'll see what the Lord will do. I said, okay, brother, we'll go. Well, we go here, and I'm sitting at the table again. They're playing the music outside. There is an Indian tribe called the Mosquitias that are there. And there's only about three of them there. But one of the leaders is there. And he had received the message of the hour. About 2 weeks ago. And they're very stern-faced. They don't smile a whole lot. They're just real stern. Well, they're out here in the service, and he's starting to sing special. I'm sitting at the table here, and I remember this anointing had already come. I said, Lord, I'm starting to feel nervous. you get feeling tempted. I'm intimidated because you see who all is out there. And I just wanted to yell to the Lord, and I'm telling you, friends, God just dropped down that same anointing. And I told Brother Paco, we're fixing to see God do something. I said, we're fixing to say something. He said, Brother Daniel, I feel it too. He said, I know. And we went out and we started preaching. And then, as we went to the song service, the thunder started rolling. Wind was going. There's no cover at all. You're just out in the middle of the field, all up a mountain. And the wind is blowing. It's starting to act like it's really fixing to start raining and everything. And I said, God, I ask you to stop this storm right now because I know you called me here. I'm here because you sent me here. I said, you caused every bit of this to leave right now. I said that you can have control. And I'm telling you, friends, the wind stopped. Completely stopped. And I'm telling you what, we had church. God come down in this service. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's just, if I've ever felt a wind of the Holy Ghost during this service, I'm telling you, it was so amazing. The anointing, I've never seen him like it. The anointing was so strong. Come through. And we can go to the next picture if you'd like to. Just go ahead and keep going through. These two sisters here have, their mothers have been praying for them their whole life. And they never would come to the Lord. And they both come to the Lord. And when I mean they come, they didn't just come, they wept. I mean, with all that was in them, going all the way up to the front, crying to the Lord. And everyone in the congregation was just crying, just weeping. They've come to the Lord, and everyone was rededicating their heart. They were kneeling with their chairs where they were at, just praying to God and asking for a revival in their life. The pastor comes up to close the service, and he can't even talk. He's, the Spirit of God is so strong. We just prayed for a long time, and everyone rededicated their heart to the Lord. Go ahead and go to the next service. After this service here, I thought I put the picture in there, but I didn't. But there was a man from Voice of God Recordings was at that meeting. And he was a Hispanic brother. And he came to me, and he pulled me to the side, and he said, I want to speak to you. And he spoke to this other man. He introduced me to another man. This man was a gang leader of the M13s that was here in America. And he got kicked out of America with all the trouble he got into. Well, when they kicked him out, they sent him to Nicaragua. Well, he needed a place to stay, so he rented a room. And this room was a sister of the Message of the Hour. And she just rented that room, and she would feed him. And as she'd feed him, she'd give him a little bit of the message every day. Mm-hmm. So sisters, listen here. You can lead someone to the Lord. Right. And every day, she'd feed him, and she'd give him just a little bit of word. Feeding him a little bit of word. He had a big old tattoo on his neck of a star and just different things. I've never met a more humble man in my life. She led him to the Lord over dinner table. Mm-hmm. And received the message out with this man, Voice of God Recording. He said, I want you to meet. He said, because I feel like God could use you, because Brother Paco would get pretty wore out keeping up with me on some of the things. He'd get a little excited sometimes. He introduced us together and said, maybe y'all two can start working together. And we said, well, brother, we should try to. And I started to walk away, and that brother grabbed me by the arm. He pulled me back. He said, brother, I want you to listen to me. He said, I have been around the world. He said, I have seen and known. And I say this humbly before God. Don't say this arrogantly at all. I say this humbly before God. He said, I've been around the world. He said, I have met ministers all over the world. He said, I'm telling you right now, brother, you have a special gift. He said, I've never seen the anointing come quite like that. He said, this doesn't just come all the time. He said, brother, you need to cherish what you got here. He said, this is a special gift. And he started crying. He held it real tight. He said, I want you to stay humble. Because if you stay humble, God's going to use you, brother. And I said, well, I appreciate that. The man from the Muskegee is the leader. He came to me, he pulled me to the side, he said, I want you to come preach to my tribe in the Muskegee. Well, it's 24 hours on a canoe. I'm talking about flying on the airplane. It was kind of rough. And I said, well, brother, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I will pray about it. I said, if the Lord makes the way, the Lord lays on my heart, I'll go wherever he leads me. I said, but I just want to pray about that. And Brother Paco walked over to me because he knew what that brother was doing. He said, Brother Daniel, 24 hours on the canoe, brother. And I will be going too, brother. He said, 24 hours, Brother Daniel. He said, because he drinks all the water there. He said, I can't even drink the water over there. He said, we won't be able to drink their water. We will eat their food. 24 hours, Brother Daniel. I said, well, I just said, we'll pray. He said, be very careful, Brother Daniel. He said, because they will obligate you. But he said, no. And he said, all jokes aside, he said, God wants us to go, brother. I want to go. I said, well, we'll pray about it. So that was a wonderful time in the Lord. It really was. On the Tuesday, as we were leaving, the front sill on Brother Paco's truck started leaking and pouring motor oil out of it. And it's really amazing how the Lord done that, because I was in the back seat and I was just kind of praying, I had my headphones in the ear, and the Lord told me. I mean, I try to be real careful saying the Lord told me to do something or told me anything. But I'm telling you what, just a voice just spoke to me and said, you've got an engine oil leaking. And Brother Paco, not even 30 seconds later, he said, Brother Daniel, do you think we're checking the oil on that? I said, brother, I think so. We get out, we check the front of the engine, and sure enough, it's just pouring oil out of it. Well, if you know much about getting vehicles repaired, you know on a diesel pickup, you have the front seal change, it's pretty expensive. And we said, let's go ahead and get this taken care of. So we took the vehicle to the shop, and I needed a rest day to relax because I had been traveling nonstop for 3 days now. And so we took it to the shop, and the pastor wanted to take me to look at the volcanoes in the area. And while he got the truck fixed, well, like I said, you're looking at over $1,500 easy, you know, getting this taken care of on the truck. And I think, my goodness, I'm fixing to be in some trouble because that's a lot of money. And we get back, and he charged me $50. $50. And that's fixing the engine and replacing the seal. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord knew what he was doing. Yeah. So we got that taken care of, and we headed back to San Pedro Sula. And when we got there, we had an evening service, and there were several that come to the Lord during that service. Several mothers had come to the front because of their children were backslid. And I tell you what, it's terrible to see what Satan's doing among the people. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, I want you to start claiming your children. You start claiming your children that God will bring them back. I said, because he will. And we had a service the next night, and some of the young men come to the Lord the following service. So, you know, mothers prayed the night before, sons come to the Lord the following service. So, I really praise the Lord for that. And I had a lot more pictures, but I asked my wife if it was too much. She said it was. So I took a bunch of them out. So it's her fault. I say that because she knows I can do that. She knows I love her. The following service was a very special day. The Lord woke me up early in the morning, and his presence was real strong. And that morning, all I could do was cry. I mean, I'm telling you what, friends, it was probably 10 in the morning, 2:30, and I was telling all I could do was just cry. Just the presence of God. I'm telling you, it's just, if you could ever, you hear the story Brother Ben talked about, I want a godless skin on it. I could almost touch him. It was so amazing, electrifying. And I was going to preach at a denominational church this evening. And I was kind of nervous about it. But that morning, I tell you what, all I could do, it was all I could do to get out of my bed, just get on my knees, and I wept. And the next thing I knew, it was mid-morning. And I'd just been spending the whole time with the Lord that morning. We went to this denominational church. This pastor had heard about the message, but he wasn't really sure about it. He just says, I just don't know. But he said he had heard good things about Brother Daniel Black. He said, so I want him to come and speak at our service. And we'll see. And he said this was kind of his test of testing the waters of the message. And so we went there, and it was outside. Just because he was accepting books, the denominations kicked him out. And just because he was even having anything to do with it. And so he was there, and there was about 35 people that were there. And it was outside out in the front yard, and we had service. And I'll tell you what, friends, God was so awesome. We got through halfway through the service. I started going through the church ages and showing how God sent a messenger for every day, how God sent the seven spirits, and how God had the four beasts. And I'm telling you, these people at first were like this. They were stern because they were taking everything I had. The next thing I knew, they were all like this. They were all listening. And I'm telling you what, they began to cry, began to weep. And I'm telling you, it was absolutely amazing. I come to a point where I talk about the eagle and the barnyard. And I talk about how that farmer had that farmer eagle. I said, you know, he had that egg and he stuck it under the chicken. I said, you know, that little eaglet woke up and he's like, why am I so different? And I'm telling you, people were just breaking down crying. I'm talking about the whole thing. They were just crying. And that's all I could do to get through my story. You know, I'm talking about these things. I said, and that mama eagle come through and she come to do a loud cry and saying, this is what you are. And I'm telling you what, just this. It was an electrifying spirit. Just come over the congregation and they start screaming. They start crying. And they come to the altar and they were on their knees, the whole congregation. Was on their knees just crying out to God. And I didn't know where the pastor was. I couldn't find him. I said, where's the pastor at? You know, at the end of the service, I'm praying for all these people and, you know, and asking God to be with their hearts. I'm like, where's the pastor at? And I look over and the pastor is right there with him on his knees. And he's sitting. I said, praise the Lord. That's, I was like, hey, man, that's awesome. And so I was praying for the pastor, you know, and he rose up. And I'm telling you what, they just cried and wept. And well, after the service, I called the pastor up to pray, and he prayed for, I don't know, it had been another 45 more minutes, just crying and weeping. He said, God has sent us a message. God has sent us a message in this. It was absolutely awesome. Well, after that service, the deacon of the church, he came to me. He speaks pretty good English. He said, Brother Daniel, he said, have you ever felt the Spirit of the Lord like this? I said, oh, yes, brother. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, all the time? I said, well, not all the time, brother. I said, but it's for us. He said, we can have this more. I said, oh, yes, brother. It's for you. And he said, oh, praise God. he was jumping around, and he was real excited. He said, I've been in church my whole life. I've never felt the presence of God quite like this. I said, well, don't go by feelings, brother. I said, because feelings will fail you. I said, you're on the mountaintop now. Tomorrow you might not feel that. I said, go by the Word. Well, we pulled out, I had the table on my tablet. We put the table up and started playing the discernment lines of Brother Brennan. And Brother Paco was interpreting as they were doing it. And this whole congregation, I mean, all around here. And I was holding this tablet up like this and showing the campaign meetings and the discernment. Brother Paco was interpreting, and they were just crying, wiping their ear, their eyes, you know. They're like, oh my goodness, look what God's done, holding on to each other. Look how they cherish that. You know, they were holding on to that because this is the first time they'd ever seen this. And they were just holding on to one another. And they're looking at the pastor and said, look at this, brother. Look at this. Oh, I know. I know it's good. And so it was absolutely awesome service during this. After this, we went to, let me go ahead and go to the next picture. We went to this other place. And this is where, y'all remember the testimony from my last trip where I said I preached at a house service? I preached at a house service where the man had a vision of the train going through the mountains and giving out honey and food. I'll give that my last report. I preached at a house service. Well, they actually have a church now that's been built, and they'd all come together and serve on the Lord. During this service, I give my testimony on the last time, my last trip, about how that Elijah, God had healed Hannah and caused healed her feet. And I gave the testimony about how that God had healed Elijah's face, and God told me to keep driving the Jeep and took me to the dumpster. How many remembers the testimony? I'd give the testimony about the dumpster and how God told me to go to the dumpster and get all these things. And this family that come, and I did not get the picture, I just don't realize that, but there's a picture of two saints. They come to me. And I said, I've been praying for you. God bless you. He's taking their hands, and they said, we want to talk to you. Well, I led them to the Lord last time there. He's the song leader now, and she's serving the Lord. Well, they said, we want to talk to you, Brother Daniel. They said, because God has used your testimonies over the last couple of years. I said, well, praise the Lord. And so we began to talk. He said, our son, little bitty fella, she was pregnant with him back then. Well, his little bitty fella walking around now. He said, our son had gotten really bad sick, burning fever, and he's not looking good at all. And he said, we were at our last resort because, look, my pregnant loser baby. And he said, they knelt there, and he said, I remembered. He said, I told them, I said, you know what? God worked in Brother Daniel. And Brother Daniel said in that service, it's according to your faith. If God ever healed anybody in that way, if you come the same way, the same attitude, God has to do the same thing for you. He said, Brother, he said, we knelt right there in that room there. He said, and we put our hands on our baby. And we said, God, you did it for Brother Daniel. You healed his baby. You healed his girl. If you can do it for him, you can do it for us. He said, we're believing it right now. He said, God immediately healed that baby. Absolutely broke the fever and everything. The doctors just sent him home. He was fine. The Lord absolutely healed him. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, and I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. And I started walking. He said, no, brother. I'm going to tell you something else. I said, okay. I said, all right. He said, well, do you remember the time you told us about the Jeep? And I didn't remember getting a testimony. Apparently I did, because he knew the details. He said, you told us that you God told you to get in the Jeep and start driving. I said, you remember? I said, yeah, brother, I remember. He said, we needed a house, and we didn't have anywhere to live. He said, and we prayed, and we said, God, we've seen you do that through our boy, healing our boy. We need a house to live in, and we don't have anywhere to live. He said, we got on our knees together, and we prayed. And we said, God, you spoke to Brother Daniel, and you told him where to go. He didn't even know where he was going. If you can do it for him, you can do it for us. And said, we need a house to live in, and we don't know where to go. And he said, we started praying, got on their knees, started praying, and said, God, he said, God told me to get up, start walking. And he said, I started walking. His wife said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. I'm just walking just like Brother Daniel did. I said, well, praise the Lord. This brother started walking. He said, he started going down the trail, going up the road. He said, and he didn't know where he was going. He was just walking. He said, and the Lord kept having him going up, and he said, he found a piece of land on the side of the road. He said, God told him, spoke to him just as clear. He said, this is yours. And he looked at that, and he thought to myself, I can't just take someone's land. I can't do that. So he went to the city officials and talked to the city officials about that, this piece of land. He said, we don't have no record of that. You can have it. And he said, okay. They gave him the land. So he went over there, and he built the house. The Lord gave him a house. And he said, so brother, he said, you may have thought your testimonies are nothing. He said, please, keep giving testimonies, brother. Please. I said, well, praise the Lord. So he built a house there, and they're serving the Lord now in that house. So I thought that was really good. We had a powerful service and that morning. And we had a night service and a morning service. And this following service, we're going to a place called Mortazon. And that's a little bitty man, little bitty. And I say little, he's probably that tall, and he may weigh 75 pounds, soaking wet with a backpack of rocks on him. He's a little bitty fella, but if I have ever met a man, that's a man. I'm telling you what, such character. His church, they remembered me from last time, a little bit of a really good revival on that congregation there. Well, on the last trip, and he said, so there are several that's come to church, but they're not serving the Lord now. I said, so several of the sisters and some of the brothers had begun to fast and pray that God would send Brother Daniel Black back to Honduras. And I didn't know anything about this. I just know I felt a pull in my heart to go for a long time. Well, I finally told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll go if you'll send me. So I went, and this brother, it got near that I was there. And he called while we were there, and he said, can you please come to our service? I said, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, I don't know anything about the fasting or praying or nothing. I just know it's an open door, so we go. And I'm telling you, friends, I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord comes so strong. There are so many people that come to the Lord, I couldn't reach them. I just prayed, and I tried to get through, and I just couldn't. It was just all the way across, all the way back to the building. I tried to reach and try to pray for them, and I said, Brother Paco, we're just responding to pray from here, brother. I can't reach them. And she didn't about laying hands anyway, leading to the Lord. And we had service, and all these sisters come to the Lord, and several brothers on the other side that had come to the Lord, and an absolute revival. This church, all the brothers and sisters there had prepared a big meal for an honor. Just not, I say honor, but that's what they said, to thanking me for coming to their church. And I've never felt more welcome in a place as I did right here. They were absolutely wonderful people. His name is Brother Manuel. Very, very good people. We had a really good time. And several come to the Lord during that service. Yeah, there was over 40 that come to the Lord in that service, and there were several that rededicated their heart to the Lord. We took the next day and just rested, and I was pretty worn out. I was trying to talk to my wife on the phone. I just couldn't hardly talk. My voice was gone. And it's just amazing how the Lord would do that, because I would try to talk during the day and I couldn't talk. My voice was gone, but service time comes, it's like a new voice. You know, you step up there and he just takes over. And you get done, it's like, I wish I still had that voice, you know. And I was drinking over a gallon of water every day. It was so hot, so miserable. I say miserable. I wasn't miserable. I was just, it's just, you know, you got this old guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And we bought 4 gallons of water. Brother Paco said, I think this will probably last you a couple of days. And I said, yeah, I think so. Well, you get through the first day, and the brother would be going to get some more water. He said, you drunk that already? And I said, yeah, I did. I was drinking a lot of water. See, I don't want to go through everything, but we had another service for a pastor on a mountain. He had hurt his back, and he hadn't been able to, when he preached, he had to sit in a chair and try to preach, and his congregation was really struggling. That's all I knew. He said his congregation was really struggling, so I really ask you to come and speak for us. And so I certainly will, brother, will come. And Lord, if I've ever seen the Lord go into marriages and life inside the hearts, I'm telling you, it was just as, and going into detail about different things, I don't know any of these people. I don't know what they're going through. And I started going through some things that were really iffy. Do you really want to go there, you know, and touching about different things? But I felt the Lord gave me complete liberty. And I went straight into these things and about life inside the homes and how you treat your wives, you know, and respecting your wives, honoring your wife, you know, and, you know, the wife reverencing her husband and different things. And talking about ministry. Really went real strong into ministry in there and how that, you know, I felt I was going, you know, to ministry and doing street meetings thing, and God showed me that I was reaching so far out there, I was neglecting my own family. I said, brothers, we can't do that. That's our first priority, is our family. And I really felt God lead me to go into that really strong. Well, come to find out, there were several ministers in there that were doing that very thing, that were neglecting their families. And well, this congregation, all the same, it was kind of like the other one. Just want to stop here for a second. So I just remembered. Before we had left that last service, that song leader, the one that the Lord led into the house, he works out in the field, but he had no rain at all, no rain at all. And he said, if it keeps going like this, I'm going to be in trouble. And so how neat God does things sometimes. It's not real proclaimed or nothing. This brother needed rain. And God's my witness. I didn't do nothing out, no out shouting or nothing. He's told me, he said, Brother Daniel, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do if we don't get rain. And I just spoke in my heart, just grabbed him by his hand, and in my heart, I prayed. I said, God, I give this brother man in Jesus' name. I give it to him. And he can't speak English. He don't speak English. He don't know what I'm saying no more than nothing. That's between me and the Lord. And that was that morning. We went here this evening and started preaching. And I felt the Lord speaking to me about Noah's Ark. It's dry in the sky. We have no forecast for rain at all. We're in the service, and I'm preaching, and I'm talking about life inside the home. I said, you know, these mothers and fathers, they think that their children are going to rapture just because they're children. I said, that's not right. You look at the scriptures, 8 went in the ark. It didn't say 8 plus children. And I really went into demonstrating how, without a doubt, many mothers and fathers were holding their children over the door. I said, it had never rained. I said, sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes is God causing it to rain to get someone's attention. I said, during that day, I said, what would it take to get someone's attention right then? And a loud clap of thunder roared across the sky. And you talk about people like, oh my goodness. And they were really venturing into service, and the wind started kicking up. And there was already people at the altar before I said to come to that point. And it comes to that point, I said, you know what? I said, God don't look for signs. I said, look for the Word, friends. I said, God has gave you the Word. I said, but just being around the ark's not enough. You've got to get inside the ark. I said, you've got to get in the Word. And I said, you know what? You've been around the message, but where is the message in your life? And I'm telling you what, they flooded the altar. It started pouring down rain like you have never seen. I mean, pouring down rain. And had rained several days after that. You know. So I thought that was really neat. You know, sometimes you think about that, you know, praying for someone. I'll tell you the thought that came to my mind when that happened was Brother Tony and I, right on going out to his front porch. He and I, because we were doing a drought, and he and I, just agreed together. Not a loud proclamation, nothing. We just agreed. Said, brother, we're going to agree right now that God's going to give us rain. I said, I accept that, brother, in Jesus' name. Well, how many members of the rain?
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You feel the same attitude, he'll do the same thing. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty amazing. Several have come to the Lord during that meeting. And I'm fixing to end this mission report right now. I think that's it. I've got one more thing I just want to say. There was another couple that during this night, we couldn't travel because the rain was too bad. We couldn't even travel. It was just pouring. So we stayed with a couple. And this man and woman, he was giving his testimony. He said that God had been dealing with his heart to serve him, but he never would. He was a sailor by trade. And he was upstairs, and his wife was downstairs cooking breakfast. Well, his nephew had gotten into some trouble and got drowned. But he didn't believe it was an accident. He believed it was intentional. So he had been doing some digging into this findings. Well, the people that did the murder and hired someone to come kill him. Well, he was upstairs, and like I said, he wasn't serving the Lord, but God had been dealing with his heart. He was up there, and this man broke inside the house, went up there, and started stabbing him repeatedly with a big knife. So he just kept stabbing him in his stomach, all over his stomach. He pulled his shirt up, showing like, oh my goodness, all over his stomach. And he said, he screamed at his wife. He said, honey, get up here. Get up here. He's killing me. And they said, this man literally had him down. It was just repeatedly. I mean, just repeatedly. Kept getting him across his stomach. Well, his wife runs up there and tries to pull him off. And he pushes her, stabs her in her arm. You can see the deal in her arm right here and the arm right there. Stabbed her through her arm and then got her to her side several times. And he took off out the door. Well, they weren't serving the Lord. They didn't want to. And they knew he was fixing to die because he was just pouring blood. Well, they called the ambulance, but a taxi cab. Taxi cab come, and it's a message believer driving the taxi cab. Just going to answer. This taxi cab driver comes up there, gets him inside the vehicle, and says, he's just pouring blood. And they said, get him to the hospital. Well, he started getting to the hospital, and he knows, I'm dying. And he told him, he said, I don't want to die in the hospital, just take me home. I'll just die in the hospital. And that message believer, he said, I am a believer of the message of the hour. You will not die in this cab. And I thought, that's praise the Lord. That's his territory, you know. He said, you will not die in this cab. He said, I'm going to pray for you, brother. He said, and God is going to make you live. And he said, brother, he said, you pray for me. He said, if God don't let me die, I'll serve him the best of my knowledge from this day forth. And he said, he felt like he was dying. He said that taxi cab driver, not a minister, just a taxi cab driver, reached out and grabbed him and started praying for him. He said, God asked him, he said, a power come, starting at my feet, going up in my body. He said, I was lifeless, I was dying. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I have never felt so good in my life. He said, I felt wonderful. I had the strength of the Lord. That's what he said. And he said, I told the taxi cab driver, take me to the hospital. I need surgery. The taxi cab driver says, are you sure? he said, you're not going to die in this cab. He said, take me, I need surgery. Are you sure? He said, yeah, take me to the hospital. So he takes him to the hospital. The doctors take him straight back, and they say, we can't give you any kind of anesthetic or not, because we'll lose. He said, I don't need anesthetic. I've got the strength of the Lord. He said, do your operation, brothers. While he's laying on the table, they got to pull his insides out, put him on the table, and sew him up, and put it back in. And the doctor said, you need to understand what I'm fixing to do. He said, you need to understand what I'm trying to tell you. I have the strength of the Lord. Do the surgery. And it's like, okay. So they pulled him out, stitched him up, did everything, stuck him back in. No anesthetic at all. He said, the Lord completely, no problems at all. And he said, not just that, brother. He said, not just that. I said, okay. He said, when they took me to my room, I said, there will be nothing used for using the restroom. I will go by myself. He said, after surgery on his stomach and everything, he said, I took myself to the restroom. He said, I brought myself back to the bed. And he said, the Lord absolutely got him through those things. Well, he said, after he got out of the hospital, he was perfectly fine. Got out of the hospital, and the taxi cab driver came to pay him a visit. And the taxi cab driver says, do you remember that much about that night? He said, brother, I remember one important thing. I made a promise to the Lord, if he would keep me alive, I'd serve him the rest of my life. Now, where's the church? So he went to the church, and he completely gave his heart to the Lord, and you've never met a more humble man. Well, this man has never met Brother Miller. Never has. He just heard about him. And he got a picture of Brother Miller and Sister Miller together. He got a picture through somebody else. And he went and grabbed this picture, and I thought he knew Brother Miller. Because he went and picked it up, because he was crying. He was very emotional about it. And he was talking to me. And he was talking to his brother. He said, I pray for this precious brother every day. And he was just, I'm telling you, there wasn't no put on or nothing. You talk about true humility. This man was crying, and he said, I pray for this brother every day. He said, I believe God's going to absolutely heal him. I said, amen. And he said, God healed my stomach. He'll heal him. I said, amen. I said, well, how long have you known Brother Miller? He said, I've never met him. I said, you've never met Brother Miller? He said, no, I never have. I've just heard the testimony. He said, God has put him on my heart. He said, I pray for him every day. Now, you think about that. This man had never even met him, but God laid that on his heart. And that's true living for one another. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand now. Now we go into service.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, I thank God for these things the Lord has done. And just give you one more quick testimony before we go into the Word. There was a sister that came to me and said, I want you to meet baby Daniel. I said, well, hello there, baby Daniel. God bless you. I said, my name's Daniel, too. She said, well, we know that. I said, okay. She said, no. She said, last time you were here, she said that I had been to 3 different doctors, and they all said I could never have babies. And she said, you told me it's according to your faith. She said, he was preaching. He said, he was going through it. And I do not remember this no more than nothing. I do not. But Brother Poppy said, Brother Daniel, it happened just this way. He said, you were preaching, and he said, and come to the service. He said, you went to go pray for her and said, sister, you want a baby boy? God's going to give you that baby boy. It's according to your faith. He said, you prayed for me right then. He said, God's going to give you the baby. Well, I left the next day to get on the airport and went home. 1 month later, she went to a doctor, and she was 1 month pregnant. And she said, she told the Lord, she said, God, and she told God at that time, I was praying for him. She said, God, if I get this baby boy, I'm naming him after this minister. His name will be Daniel. So she's pregnant with her second child now. I thought that was wonderful.
Amen.
You know, Satan wants us to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof.
Right.
But we have power. We have nuts authority is actually what we have. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought that was really good. And Brother Paco, he made a joke. He said, "Now if this is a daughter, we're naming it Vicky." he said, "We'll have Daniel and Vicky in Honduras." Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And let's read start at verse 14. And I'll try not to keep. I know I've been a long time on the missions report. I tried cutting it down.
You're fine, brother.
And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, to be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and him with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've been long-winded already. Lord Jesus, I don't mean to be, Lord. I just want to be able to just present you to your precious people, Father, your precious wife, Lord. And Lord, as we go just a few minutes in the Word, Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts now, Lord, and help me to not say anything else, but just what you want me to say, Father. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Want to swap deals here. I'm going to speak on this. May sound like a kind of a funny name. Today's service. And I'll read one quote. It says, even nature everywhere speaks of him, and nature is a great testimony in another way. That is, that we cannot have this resurrection life unless it serves God's purpose. Now, if a seed is planted and the seed is germatized, it brings forth a new flower. But if it isn't germatized, it will not bring forth a new flower, if it doesn't serve God's purpose. Yet not just because it's a flower it rises, because it serves God's purpose. And that's the reason the sun rises, is because it serves God's purpose. And we rise when we serve God's purpose. I believe that Brother William served God's purpose in life, a real father. I see his darling companion, Mrs. Williams, sitting here. A real husband. That's one of God's purposes. A father and one of God's purposes. And what I mean by today's service is, you know what, we have a tendency as flesh in service and in life of thinking that the pastor has the role, or the minister has the role in a life, and they have a position that they have to do. But you know what, he does have a purpose, and a ministry has a purpose. But you know what, so let's stop there and just think about that for just a minute. A purpose. When you have a purpose, that's something to get up for out of bed.
Yeah.
That's something to make preparations for.
Right.
Because you've got a purpose. You've got things you've got to get done. You know, if you've got to get laundry done, Sister Lisa, you can't get that laying down, can you? You've got to get up and make preparations. Amen.
Yeah.
Sister Catherine, too, right? Amen. I'm going to make sure you guys are awake. But you know what? We have a purpose. And when you have a purpose, you make preparations. And I'm talking about today's service. I want to talk about your service yourself. Because we all have a service every day.
Amen.
And we can have a church service every day. And whenever you're going, you don't have to be a minister to be used by the Lord. And that's what I want. I want to be used by the Lord, don't
Amen.
You?
Yeah.
Friends, that's what it's about. You know, what good is it to do to have the message of the hour and don't have God working in our lives?
Right.
You know, how many of you is absolutely on fire for God? We got a few. How many of you is out of the world? I mean, just you're up right out in the world. Nobody. Okay, so nobody rose their hand the first time. They're not on fire for God. They're not necessarily in the world. That only leaves you in one spot, and that's lukewarm.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's where Satan wants to get us,
yeah.
Where we're lukewarm. You know, I'm not necessarily on fire for God, but I ain't in the world either. I'm just right here in the middle somewhere. That's where Satan wants us, friends.
Amen.
But I want to be on fire for God.
Amen.
You know, I want to be where God can use me, because yesterday's experience is a painted fire now. I've talked about some of the testimonies. I couldn't even try to get all of them. I've talked about testimonies I've seen God do, but that's a painted fire now. I need testimonies today where God can work in my life today. And you know what? It's from the housewife to the father to the pastor to the ministry to the deacon to the sound system, man. Everyone, we all have a testimony that we can bring forth. You know what? I want to see growth in this church, friends. And you know, me and Brother Tony were talking to different pastors in Mexico. And it's talking about how they got growth in their church. And we said, well, what is it that brings the growth from the church? What have you been doing? Have you been doing outings? Is that what's been doing? And he said, oh, honestly, brother, no. He said, I'll tell you what's been bringing the growth. He said, the congregation has been welcoming other people. The congregation goes out and just talks to other people and says, come and see. And I want to bid you, friends, bid someone to come to church. Bid someone to come and partake of what you're feeding on. Because that's what makes this church work. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not the ministry, it's the people. Because you know what? You can have the greatest ministry in the world, but the people ain't, if they're not producing or going out and giving with it, you know, if they're not taking with it, God, we're not, what are we doing? I'm the kind of person, I don't like to stand and spin my wheels.
Right.
When I'm grinding a tree stump, I could be doing that tree stump, and there's different ways you can do it, but you know, you know you have a pretty good stump, and I've got a grinder, and it's got teeth on the front. You can go side to side, just like this. And that stump should start going down. Now, you can sit on the same stump, and you can go side by side, and that stump don't go nowhere. I can work myself in the ground, and don't get nothing done. You know, it's a lot like life. It's a lot like serving the Lord. You can work yourself to death, and ain't gaining nothing. Amen?
Right.
I want to see manifestation of what I'm doing. And this, my manifestation, I want to see that stump gone. I want it out of here. You know, I've got stumps in my own life. I want them stumps out of my life.
Yeah.
You know, you got things that you work around your whole life. Like doing a garden, you'll have a stump there, and you'll go around that stump for years because you don't want to confront that thing. And you know what? But one day, you got to finally confront and say, you know what? I'm not going around this stump in my garden no more. I'm getting this stump out of here. And that's where you've got to do something about it. And like I said, I've got that stump. I can sit there and do it the same way, same machinery, the same stump, the same day, same boots, everything. And I can do it the same way and don't get nothing done. And I can make a minor adjustment and step to the right just a little bit and hold that grinder just a little bit to the left. And once I go down, I give it a quick jerk just like that, and it'll rip a big piece of bark off of that. Well, guess what happens when I do that? That stump is mine.
Because after once I get that one little piece done, I can take that stump just like cheese, cutting through that thing. And I tell you what, I just love a little grinder when I do that. That thing will just start cutting down. But remember, it's the same grinder, same person, same day, just a little bit of a change. Right. And you know what? That's the same way it is with our life. You know, you'll have something in your life that you're fighting, you're confronting. You've got a stump in your life that you've been fighting, and you've been working around it your whole life because it seems like you've tried to tackle that thing once before, but you never could. But you know what? You can go with that same stump and just do a little bit different this time. And I tell you, one of the biggest things it is you've got to have confidence in what you're working with. I was doing a stump the other day. It was should have been an easy job. I told Brother Tim, 3 o'clock Friday, I felt whipped. I said, Brother, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. I had this stump I was trying to do, and I'd go 10 minutes, and I was absolutely wore out. And finally, I sat down with the grinder, Elijah was with me. I think he was getting confused. Because normally Daddy gets up there and gets it done. But this time I would go up there and grind for just a little bit for 10 to 15 minutes and I was white, smooth out. I'd go sit on the trailer and I was sitting here just like this and I was sitting here looking at that stump and I actually contemplated, maybe you ought to just quit. You know what, maybe I ought to just leave this stump. Maybe I ought to just give up. You ever feel that way? I've got this thing, I've been confronting this thing my whole life, and I'll cry for 10 minutes and I ain't getting nowhere. And I kept fighting it, and I remember sitting down, and Elijah comes sitting with me, and he didn't realize what he was saying. Now, he sat there and kind of put his arm across like that, looked at the stump, and looked at me, looked at the stump, and he said, Daddy, what's the problem? I said, well, son, I'll tell you what the problem is, I'm tired. He said, yeah, but Daddy, he said, I've seen you take this same grinder, and he said, you've grinded way bigger stumps than this. I said, yeah, that's right, I did. You know what? I got up there, and I got looking at that thing. I said, you know what? I've been doing it all wrong the whole time. And I've been going just like this, side by side, and I couldn't get nowhere. I took the same grinder, friends, went over at a different angle right there, and I said, I know what this thing can do, and I've done way bigger stumps than this. Like that, and then you see a big old piece fall, and that stump was done in less than 15 minutes. Same stump grinder, same stump, same person. But you know what? We have to have confidence in what we're working with. Right. And we have to have confidence that this message is right.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? Because I've seen this message tackle way bigger stumps than that. Right. And if we've seen him tackle a stump that same size, if I come with the same attitude, that stump's gone. You know what? You take that to whatever promise you've got toward your children, toward sickness. I don't care what it is. You take that message toward that and say, you know what? I've seen it do way bigger stumps than this. And Amen. If it can do those, it can do this.
Amen.
And you take that word toward that and you take God and His word and see if God don't move that stump for you.
That's right.
In today's service. You know what? And I believe we can have that every day. And it don't matter what it is. When I left that to go to Honduras, I didn't have any. I had just a couple of jobs lined up. That was it. I went through, but that's a stump in my life. I needed an income coming through, and I didn't know what it was. But you know what? I got a stump grinder, the Lord Jesus, that can grind that stump for me. And I have confidence in that. And I went through, and I told Baby, I said, Babe, I said, I've got work lined up. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. She said, Babe, you've only got one stump to do. I said, I'm speaking by faith. I said, I've got more stumps, and I know what to do. And she said, okay, praise the Lord. Remember that? I went out there and started grinding my stump, and the way I approached my service that day, that was my service that day. When I wake up and put my feet on the ground, that's my service. That's the same way it's with you. That's your church service, friends. And any devil that gets in your way, when you stand on the word, he's got to move. Any stump that gets in your way, he's got to move. And I went over there and I started doing my stump. I was grinding that tree stump, and I started praising the Lord. I prayed and said, God, I give this job to you. I commit it to you. I started grinding this tree stump. And I'm telling you what, the presence of the Lord was so good. I was grinding this stump. I was having a good old time. And all of a sudden, I hear an old man hollering at me, Hey! Hey! And I'm like, well, what's he want? I'm grinding this stump, and Elijah said, Daddy, he wants to talk to you. I said, I figured he probably did. I turned that thing off, walked over and talked to this man. He said, I've got some stumps over here. You want to bid some stumps for me? I said, sure I do. I'll be right over there, brother. I walked around in. I got my overalls on, my t-shirt, and it's just dark as can be already, you know. I'm half Mexican, you know. It kind of comes natural. Vicky talks about that. She said, you look Mexican. I said, well, I am Mexican. That's why it works out good, you know. It's a blessing because I can work in the sun where Brother Tony probably get burnt like a pancake. I can do it and I'm fine, you know. Well, I went over there and talked to this man. He said, I want you to bid my stumps. I said, sure. I bid those stumps. And he said, where do you preach at, brother? I'm wearing overalls and a t-shirt. You know, and I walked over and I'm looking at a tree stump. He said, where do you preach at, brother? I said, well, I said, actually, I speak at Spirit Truth Assembly a little bit. I said, but you know what? I said, I just serve the Lord. I said, I told him a little bit. And he said, well, I knew there was something, brother. He said, you carry an anointing with you. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. And he said, well, I want you to do these two stumps. I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. I go over and start grinding my tree stump. Another person comes over and I'm trying to grind my stump. And hey, hey, what is it? Hang on a second. Turn my grinder. Yeah, what can I do for you? He said, I got two stumps over here. Can you come bend them for me? He said, I sure will. Give me just 1 second. Walk around here. I'm leaving my service. You know, I'm in service. Put it that way. I leave here and I go over and talk to this other man. I said, yes, sir, I'll do it for $7. I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and write you the check right now. That's all right. I said, that's fine with me. I said, he takes care of this. And I go to do my stump grinder. And I'm telling you, I didn't know more than get the thing started. And I got another customer pulled on. Hey! Hey! I said, yes, sir, where's the stump set? You know, before us, what do you mean? What do you mean? I was like, where's the stump set? Just pull me in the right direction. I'll take care of it. And he was the pastor of the Assembly of God in Spiro. He said, I want you to come bid some stumps over here. He said, but tell you what, just do them. He said, I know you'll give me a fair price. Do the stumps over here. Do this one over here on this house over here. And he said, do you know what the Assembly of God church is in Spiro? I said, well, I think I do. And I searched later. He said, yeah, that's it. He said, you go ahead and get these work done. I'll be at the Assembly of the church. He said, I've got 5 stumps over there. He said, you just go ahead and let me know. And I said, I'll be there, brother. I called my wife. I said, remember all that work I was talking about? I said, I'm doing it right now. So, you know what? We have things. That's one example of a stump in our life. You know, we need to take God at His word and say, God, you said I can have it and I want it. And you know what? And I know it's storming outside. That's a stump too. Okay. You know? But, and I won't be much longer. But I want you to remember on your services, friends, don't let the devil push you around. You remember, you got authority. And the devil wants you to, he don't want you to use it, God wants you to use it.
Right.
And you take that authority God gave you, whatever it is, you take God at His word and you see if He don't move that stump. You know what? If you've got an addiction you're fighting, that's a stump. And that stump can get out of the way today. You know what? If you've got pain in your body, that's a stump. That thing can move it out of the way. I'll give you a testimony of that right now. I thought I broke my foot the other day. And I'm telling you what, I felt like it broke. And I was pushing on something, and you could take my foot just like that, and it hurt some kind of fierce. And you take it like it, and you could hear it pop, and you feel it, and I'm telling you what, it hurt. And I showed my wife, she said, I think you broke it up. I said, well, I've got work to do. This thing's got to go. And it hurt. I'm telling you what, it hurt to stand on it. I said, we're going to pray right now. God's going to heal this foot, whatever it is, whatever it might be. We prayed right there, and God's my witness, He healed that foot.
Amen.
That's a stump. You know what? That's something right there. You can take God and His word and see that thing move. And I thought, you know what? A lot of times we live under our privileges. We think, I don't have the faith right now. Think about whenever Peter seen Jesus walking on water, he said, I bid you to come. He said, if that's you, Lord, you bid me to come. He didn't say, let me go on a 40-day fast. He started walking, friends. And when he started walking, God gave him the blessing, and that man walked on water. And you know what? Whatever stump you've got this morning, won't you take God at His word? Let's stand with you. How many of you got a stump this morning?
Amen.
I've got stumps. And I want these stumps out of my life. And I'll tell you, one of my biggest stumps that I see, friends, I see empty seats. It's not because I want a many-member body church, but you know what? I want everybody we can get. Amen?
Amen.
You know what? I want to see a church on fire for God to where I don't want it to be fake fruits. I want to see you producing what we're giving you in the gospel. Amen? Don't tell me, is that what you want, brother? We're giving you the gospel, and we want to see manifestation from that. We want to see in your lives when you're happy, you're joyful. Sometimes, not necessarily here. I've been some places, they got toad faces. You know what a toad face is? It don't matter what day, what time of the day, anytime you see them, they are so toad faced. But you know what? We ought to be the happiest people in the world.
Amen. Amen.
We have got so much to be thankful for.
That's right.
Ask everything in Thanksgiving. Now, I talked about stumps this morning. Let's go ahead and ask Brother Tim to just play a song, brother, if you don't mind. In today's service, not just today, every day you go, you remember, there's a blind, naked, and wretched people out there don't even know. That's not us, friends. We know who we are, and I'm going to be on fire with God. And if you're struggling for that, you say, you know what, I need more revival. It's raining outside. Let's get it raining inside here.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's have more of God. You've got to stop in your life and you say, you know what? I've been working around this thing my whole life, and I can't seem to get around it. I want to see you get over that thing, amen? But Tony, you want to see that, brother? We're going to stand by faith this morning. We're going to see you through and see you get through this thing. Because you know what? We're going to make this rapture. We're born for it. Amen? You believe that? We were born for this rapture. That's what it was produced for me. You got to have that same confidence. That's what it was for. It was for you. And we take this thing in the right perspective. And I want to see your stumps. Let's just have every head bowed right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I know I've been wrong-winded. Father, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, I didn't go very deep at all in this service, Lord, and I realize that. Lord, we don't have to. It's your word, God, and your word is true. We have stumps this morning, Lord. We want to see move, God. Not as some kind of fake put on, God, but a genuine life from the inside, oh God. Lord, I ask you, Father, you'll speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. That you'll cause the stumps to be moved, God. Lord, I've got stumps in my life, oh God, that make me afraid, Lord. Afraid of failure sometimes, oh God. Lord, of saying, what if you go try and you fail? Lord, help me push those things to the side this morning. Lord Jesus, may we walk by faith, oh God. Lord, we are a needy people this morning, Father. I ask you, Lord, walk the aisles right now, Father, and knock on every heart, oh God. Lord, as your word says, you will, if they will allow you in, Father, you will come in and sup with them, oh God. And Lord, we want to sup with you this morning. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you come into this own heart this morning, Lord. And God, sup with me, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, let us every day that we walk in this life, oh God. Lord, may it be our today's service, Lord. Lord, when we stick our feet on the ground, Father, may we stand as sons and daughters of God, Lord. Not walking as paupers, oh God, but children of the King, oh God. Lord, I ask you, Father, walk the aisles now, God, and knock on their hearts, oh God. And give them an opportunity, Lord, to allow you to come in and sup with them, oh God. Lord, I ask you, meet every need among us, oh God. Lord, if there be healing, Father, that needs to take place, oh God, may it happen now, oh God. Lord, if it's a financial need, Lord, may you help them in those things, Lord Jesus, as we know the Word of God says. Lord, if we be faithful in your tithes and our offerings to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we're faithful to you in our heart, oh God. We're faithful to you in our home, oh God. You can bless those things. Father, help us, oh God. We're not asking you to bless sin, oh God. But Lord, may there be anything in our life this morning. Search our hearts now, Father. Lord, if there be anything in my life or in these brothers and sisters' life that would hinder the blessing of God, may those things be moved right now, Father. Grant it, Heavenly Father. I love you, Lord. I ask you to bless our pastor, Brother Tony, oh God. Help that brother never lose the feeling for the people, oh God. Lord Jesus, but may that brother, Lord, have a love for us, oh God, that you gave, Lord. Not a man's love, but your love, oh God. Help us, oh God, to run with the vision. Help us, Lord, to walk by the burden of our heart, Lord, living for one another, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you to bless our deacon, Brother Tim, oh God, our song leader, Lord. May you anoint his life, oh God, when he comes, oh God, that he can sing in the power and the demonstration of the gospel. Lord, the mothers, Father, when they do their laundry, Father, whatever they're doing, oh God, help them to do it in the Spirit, oh God. Help us, oh God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Help us as even the trustees, oh God. Help us to be faithful to our post of duty, Lord. Help us, oh God. We love you. Help us to serve the purpose that you've called us to, Lord. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I've already prayed with you loud. If it would help you for me to pray for you, I'd certainly like to do that for you. We're just open the altar up to you if you'd like to come for prayer. Thank you.
be a fresh dying of himself and a fresh resurrection of you, oh God, every day. Help them to be the leader you call them to be, Father. Lord, as we run a quote, and the prophet said, being a husband is the purpose of God. Lord, may he be the best husband he can possibly be, Father. May he be the best daddy, Lord, a child can ask for. I ask you, Father, meet every need in Jesus' name.
And I want you to take the things that he says to you.
Brothers and sisters, this is Brother Paco from Honduras. Wishing you the first of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I send a greeting from my brother Daniel to everyone over there who is fighting the Bible to get the rapture. I'd like to thank the pastor, Brother Tony, and his church. Everybody on the church, because we really appreciate what you have done supporting Brother Daniel's mission. And we'd like to let you know that Brother Daniel's ministry has been a real blessing for the people here in Honduras and also Nicaragua. I have seen that this is the first time that I really checked on Brother Daniel's ministry very close. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that we use this brother in a humble way. He's not a real deep preacher, but I'm going to tell you, he can preach what the Lord laid in his heart, and this is what really touched the people's hearts. And we have seen some results here, and we have seen souls coming to the Lord, and we see a lot of people that heal, even some parents and couples got restored. So we really thank you, and we'd like to encourage you to go forward and press on. And do all you can for the mission field, we got the opportunity to do it because the time is coming. But even though when you want to do something, you are not going to be able to do it. So I encourage you to do the best you can to support the mission field. And we really got our needs in Honduras. That way, we don't want to ask you for money, we like to ask you for prayer. And for the to carry the heavy load, you know, for the souls. So God bless you. And we're here working, trying to reach the last one, so you and I can be in the rapture. Because remember, if you're thinking to the rapture, remember you cannot go without the last one getting to the kingdom of God. So please, let's do something to reach the last one, so we can go home. God bless you.
Let's do something.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank the Lord for what He's done. And let's pull up Jesus used me. That's all Jesus used me. How many want to be used of the Lord? You know, if it works down there for them, it'll work here for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
The difference is down there is it's all they have, right? It's all they have. We got a lot of things up here in the way, and so that's why we don't get the results they did sometimes. But the scripture said, the day you seek the Lord with all your heart, that's the day you'll find Him. And so, He will It is not a, it's not that we won't have trials, we will. But remember, we possess the enemy's gates after trial. And we must go forward into our, into tomorrow, today, whatever, with that in our minds, right? We will possess our enemy's gates. When he wants to hem us up inside his city and make us a prisoner inside his city, he can't do that as long as we possess the gate, right? And that's exactly what God said we could do. And so we want to be used to the Lord. There is lots to do out there. And I know Brother Daniel's ministry is very effective out there. And that's the reason why we support it. I told you, even before he went, that this church will support Brother Daniel. It's important to me that Brother Daniel come to me and say, this is what I feel led to do. I want the Lord to speak to him. I want him to have a clear burden. And I'll get behind that and support him. I'm not going to tell him where to go. Right? He's got a ministry. God speaks to him. And God will speak to me what to support. But that's the way I want it to work. And that's the way I believe God has blessed it to work. Is that Brother Daniel would get the leading of the Lord. And then we would come along behind him and support that. And I want it to be such that he would come to me, not that we would do this, but Brother Daniel would come to me and say, Brother Tony, whether I get support or not, this is what I feel led to do. See, live or die, sink or swim, I'm going to do this because God has spoke to me. And when we get behind that kind of thing, that's why you see this kind of stuff, see. And that's the way God dealt with Brother Daniel on this trip, was to go, and that's why we wanted to support him that way. I say praise God for what he's done.
Amen.
And I know Brother Daniel wasn't able to tell all the testimonies that were there. But you see, if we'll have faith enough to believe like those people do, Bible days will happen in our camp like they did in theirs a couple of weeks ago. Right? And he'll do it. But we've got to just be able to put everything aside and say, you know what? We want God. And so we want to sing this song here in just a moment. Before we do, I just want to tell you that it's Satan's job to say something that God meant to be a blessing to you and try and make it a curse to you. One example in the scriptures is that God made Sabbath, which is rest. He made that for man, right? And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, religious system to turn around and take something that God put there for a blessing for us and turn around and make it something that's burdensome to us. And so these things are for you. They're not there to be something to be a curse or to be something to weigh you down. I remember the story Brother Graham told about the man who was in Africa or wherever it was, and he had contracted a fever and was dying. He fell asleep and had a dream. And in the dream, he was a woodsman. He was given a job to cut down a tree and get it down to camp so many miles away. I remember the story. And he was having this dream while he was laying or dying with a fever. And he said that he was trying so hard to move that log. That was what he was called to do. He was called, and his job was to get this log down to the camp for his boss. And he was so weak and he couldn't move it. And he heard a voice behind him, turned and looked at him. It was the Lord Jesus. It was his boss, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So why are you struggling so much? Why don't you just roll this log into the stream and let the stream float it down again? And the man was healed while this dream was going on. He woke up healed out of his dream, standing up in the bed, and in the dream it ended with him on that log floating, going down the stream, and he said, I'm a riding on it. And that's what I'm saying. The promises of God are for you. Satan wants you to think, how can I do this? This is so burdensome. That's not it at all. These are there for you, and you are to ride them because that's what they're here for. Healing is for the children. It's the children's bread. And these things are for you. You just get on top of that and let the grace of God take you right where God said he would. And that's the way it is in your own personal walk. That's the way we'll do it. And all the things that God calls us to do, we will ride on his promises and take us where we need to be. So let's just sing this to the Lord. And I want you to sing it to him. Right? I want you to sing it to him as your prayer to him. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness. Look, Jesus, use me, okay? So let's just sing this as we end the service and worship the Lord. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. Go and I believe God will come through for you. I mean, you know, no matter how hard the fight is, you trust in Him. I know that you, some of you know this, but the presence of the Lord will drop down in your situation. And there's nothing like it when you see Him do that.
Yeah.
So you keep pressing on. Brother Daniel mentioned about the church going out and inviting people in. And I wanted to just say, you know, the Scripture said, Jesus said, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. And so even in this church, not the ministry, you can use the same analogy. The ministry is a vine, providing nutrients and that sort of thing. Ye are the branches. And the fruit always happens out there on the branches. And so that's where it is. You got to go out there and you got to tell them about it. But don't just tell them, you show them.
Man.
Show them. But don't just, and I said don't just tell them about it, but don't just say it, but cause people to understand why. Don't just tell you, I never did like that with her parents to say, just do it because I said so. And I know sometimes when people get frustrated, but you know what? For most people, when you will show them why it needs to be a certain way, and there's a reason for it, they'll buy into it. That's right. They'll buy into it. But if they never see that in themselves, they never comprehend that in their own heart, they won't go with it. And so it's more than just going out there and saying it, more than just living it, but we have to do it in a way to where they look at it and say, you know what? 2 + 2 = 4. I see why that's that way, and I want to be part of it. And so if by doing that, you will draw them in. And so we encourage you to invite those that you know into the services, and especially we have the services coming up with Brother Ben Norbot. I want you to remember that. I want you to be in prayer about it. Ask God to move in those services. Yeah. Believe that God will move in those services.
Yeah.
Invite people like you believe it. Invite people that you have on your heart like you believe God's going to answer their needs during that time. And He will. God bless you. We'll sing this, whatever Brother Tim got on his heart as we get ready to dismiss. And so, just be careful in the weather, the roads and stuff as you go. But I just wanted to say God bless you in the name of the Lord.